Hello, welcome to another episode of Teacher Tweaks and Tips. I am Simona Watts Lacoste, and today's episode is geared more so to teachers of students that are older students, students that are in the latter part of middle school, high school age students, those students that we would say are mature enough to handle discussing concepts that are more on an abstract level. As teachers, you know, anytime we teach content, our goal is to try and connect that content to something in popular culture, current event, maybe something that's going on in the news. And today, our society, with everything that we have going on, everything that we are experiencing, we have just a plethora of things that we can draw upon. If you look at the pandemic that we are in the midst of with COVID-19, there's the 2020 election, and an offshoot of that is the idea of we have blue states and red states, or are we still the United States? There is Black Lives Matter movement. There is the LGBTQ plus community and their movement, and the fact of us trying to fight for equality. We're still trying to have just those basic human rights that are given to every other population. There's the idea of a woman's right to choose what happens to her body. I can see that Roe v. Wade is going to be revisited here, with especially given the nomination of the latest Supreme Court justice. And you have to think about it this way. You have students that are in class that are there before you every day, and then you have your students that are at home experiencing a distance learning format. Many of these students they're all at home watching all of this. So the teachers, we have an obligation to not only teach with fidelity, but our job is to help our students make connections, to check facts. Just don't take everything at face value. Just because it was something that was stated or publicized, you know, check your facts. Formulate opinions. And then when the time is appropriate, for them to take action, be it with online petitions, surveys. Maybe they're doing volunteer work at a food bank, or even voter registration drives. Today's podcast came about from an experience that I had with my own class. Now, part of the time, I'm academic coach at my school, but the other part of the time, I'm just a regular classroom teacher. I'm an honors literature teacher, and my goal every day is to do as I stated before: teach with fidelity, help my students to make connections, show them how to check facts, and express these opinions, formulate an opinion and be able to express it, and understand while they're expressing their opinion that everyone is not going to have your exact opinion, and that's perfectly fine. Just knowing how to express our opinions, our thoughts, and provide evidence to back it up in a respectful, accepting manner. So we were reading Animal Farm, and if you're familiar with Animal Farm, you know that it is an allegory. It was written by George Orwell, and in this novel, there's this farm that the animals actually took over. They took over from the humans, and they decided that because of the, quote, injustices that they were experiencing and the unrest, there was no peace. You see where I'm going with this? I actually pulled from just from what's going on, just a mantra, a phrase, no justice, no peace. And I formulated it into a graphic and I shared it with my students. It was a bell ringer. And the directions were in 7 to 10 sentences. They were to explain what no justice, no peace means. There was no right or wrong response. As with any written response, especially with something that is very abstract as this graphic, but I wanted them to think about it. I really wanted them to think about it, and in hopes of these thoughts, I wanted them to be able to make the connection between hearing this in the news and learning about it and making the connection to Animal Farm. I also shared with them a couple of literary terms because, again, I'm an Honors Lit Comp 9 teacher, and as a English teacher, I'm not in the habit of just snatching things from out of the air and it not having any relevance to English. So the word know, K-N-O-W, it is twice written in this phrase, no justice, no peace. But the word know is, it's a kangaroo word or a marsupial word. Just like kangaroos have their pouches and they carry their babies around, and marsupials, they have their pouches and they carry their babies around. That's the same with this word. It's a word that carries another word. K-N-O-W has within it N-O. Therefore, no justice, no peace is not just a phrase to chant in a protest. It's a double entendre. There's a double meaning within it. I'm fully aware of it. And what I wanted them to see was to see what this possible double meaning could be. Because with the graphic within the K-N-O-W, N-O was a different color. So it stood out from the rest of the word. Now, I anticipated that this was going to create a buzz. I did. Just because of what was attached to No Justice, No Peace, specifically with Black Lives Matter. I am a teacher of color. I'm the only honors teacher of color in my school system. I'm the only honors lit teacher on my campus. And I am the only honors lit teacher at the high school and middle school level. So, with that being said, I knew that there was going to be some buzz. I knew there was going to be some feelings that were uncomfortable. But as their teacher, my job, again, is to help them to not only fact check, make connections, but to formulate opinions and understand that their opinions may not be shared by everyone, and that's perfectly fine. Long story short, a parent contacted my administrator that day, probably as soon as the student left my class, or it could have been happening right as they were writing their written response. I don't know. The child could have secretly texted their mom or dad and told them, you know, Miss Watts has us in here responding to Black Lives Matter. I don't even know what the message went home, but the message that went to my admin and that came to me was that there was a problem. And the problem was that I shouldn't be discussing current events in my class. And that it was wrong. And my graphic had black letters and red letters on white background. It just was completely blown out of proportion. But what that parent nor the student realized that that image, that graphic that was a part of my bell ringer, my lesson, their digital classroom that they have access to every single day for every single assignment, that is posted in Google Classroom every single day for every single assignment, was shared with my administrator. My administrator is a part of my Google Classroom, which I'm going to just throw this out as a side thing that you can take. Invite your administrator. Have them in your Google Classrooms. It will help you in the long run when there is a parent issue that comes about. Because everything that my students see, my administrators see in real time, they see it all. So they weren't aware of that. So my administrator was able to pull up this graphic on his computer in his office, and he talked with the parent on the phone, but that wasn't really enough for the parent. The parent was just really upset about it and really tried to petition my administrator, I guess at a level that is something that they're accustomed to doing. And just to kind of to paint this picture, he said to my administrator, man to man, I guess father to father, don't you see how what she's doing is wrong? That she shouldn't be doing what she's doing? Now, I am a teacher of color. My admin is Caucasian. The parent is Caucasian. They are both male. And I guess there was something else that was going on there. This wasn't expressed by my administrator, but I anticipated there was going to be a buzz. I've been teaching for quite some time, and quite some time now, I have been the only teacher of color in my arena, so to speak, here in my system with my content. So my administrator stood by me. He supported me. He stressed to the parent that what I was doing was perfectly appropriate. He provided him with other examples of other instances with other novels that I have done the same thing with other content. Because, as I said, my admin is a part of my Google Classroom. He knows exactly what I'm doing. He has known exactly what I've been doing for years. So it was very easy for him, for my administrator, to do that. So the following day, now granted, this series of events took place over 3 days, because the first day they get the written response, the task. The following day, they are acting kind of odd. They're very quiet, very stoic. They're not participating as they normally would. It's almost as if they are like, okay, she's in trouble. Okay. The following day, after I have all of the information, and because I am who I am and I have set my classroom up in such a way that the environment, the culture is one of openness, of respect, and it's very consistent. So to be true to who I have established myself to be in front of them as their teacher, I didn't pretend that it didn't happen, because they were kind of settling into, okay, that was yesterday's news, but it still happened. I could still kind of feel it in the atmosphere, so to speak. So I brought it up. I talked to the students. I didn't ignore it. I told them about what I had witnessed since the No Justice, No Peace, and what was brought back to me from my administrator. Now, granted, he never told me who the parent was. And honestly, I still don't know. I have my suspicions, but And I told them that I am the professional and I am the authority in this room. And I'm not only those two things, but I'm those two things with the support of my administrator, because my administrator knew exactly what your lesson was all about. I told them this. I told them, whether you realize it or not, and you look at the list of teachers for your Google Classroom, you should have noticed that the principal is also in your Google Classroom along with the assistant principal of instruction, which was news to them. And I told them that that I was going to continue on the path that I had set forth with them at the very beginning of the semester. We will continue to discuss when I feel it's appropriate any current event, because that's what we do in school. That's what school is about. That's what learning is supposed to be about. And we're going to continue to make connections. I let them know that. I also let them know that I'm not in trouble and that my administrator is very proud of the efforts that I have made and what I do with you as your teacher. So I say all of that to say this. You want to teach with fidelity. You want to be consistent. You want to help your students be the best that they can be by making connections, checking facts, not to turn a blind eye to what's going on around them, in the world around them. We do it even though there may be this uphill battle, because let's face it, your students are bringing with them all of the belief systems that they have had just ingrained in them since they were little. Coming from home, they're bringing this stuff to you. And as hard as you try, I hate to say it, that there are times that when we try as hard as we can with our students to help them be the best that they can be, sometimes it doesn't stick. Sometimes it's not lasting. Sometimes it is just momentary, and it's just for that time period that you have them. And we just hope for the best. We hope that when they leave us, that they take a part of us and what they learned, and they go forth and they build on it. But sometimes it doesn't happen. But that doesn't mean that we stop doing what we're doing. So I'm encouraging all of you to continue to do those things that are, of course, they're based in research. They are standards based, and they help your students to be the best that they can be.